In the summer of 2003, the FBI became privy to a number of unexplained happenings occurring at the Walt Disney World theme park in Orlando, Florida. They created a top-secret task force known as Project 33D, which was responsible for investigating and apprehending the man who committed the heinous acts on property. This man is often referred to by the locals as the Cartoon Man. After several months of research, countless interviews, and hours of video footage collected from the park, the team was finally able to hatch a plan to try and capture the individual. Last month, he was finally apprehended and brought to our top-secret facility in Panama City, Florida. I was brought in to do a full psychological examination of him and to establish a motive for his crimes. I'll begin by mentioning that he possesses abilities unlike any human known about by the United States government or likely any foreign government worldwide. He has enhanced speed and healing powers, as well as the ability to climb walls with his bare hands and feet. Prior to them capturing him, our team devised a method for dampening his abilities by injecting him with a series of highly radioactive compounds known as I-151, which assisted in making his arrest at Disney World. After interviewing the man, I garnered that his verbal communication skills were very poor. In fact, I have a theory that he doesn't actually understand the concept of communication at all. At his core, the Cartoon Man seems to believe that he exists inside the world of a cartoon. Therefore, the idea of death is foreign to him. Inside of a cartoon, anything can come into existence and exit without explanation. Therefore, nothing really ends for him. It just changes forms. In his eyes, killing and mutilating his victims is merely just a means to an end. For example, he often claimed that he simply needed bones when discussing his murders, making no reference at all to the actual human beings who possessed those bones. Understanding the logic and motives of the man is tantamount in this case, because it gives us a roadmap for how to manage the rest of it. The subject escaped from our facility before I was able to complete his psychological workup. We were attempting to keep him conscious during one of his interviews and lowered his dosage just a bit. Then, after demanding one of our investigators get him Lucky Charm cereal, he escaped by climbing up the wall and morphing his body to be able to squeeze out of the AC unit. Our team deployed helicopters and search parties, but after several weeks, we were still no closer to finding him. His incredible ability to move rapidly from one place to another made it extremely difficult for us to gauge his pace, even though his abilities were certainly weakened. We had several agents sweep Disney World, just in case he had somehow gotten that far, but they found nothing as well. That's when I realized he was likely hiding right under our noses the entire time. I knew based on his limited intellectual capacity that the possibility of him figuring out how to get all the way back to Central Florida was extremely unlikely. However, I thought he may have tried to find somewhere similar that was nearby. And that was how I found a match. There was this abandoned park called Miracle Strip Amusement Park that closed in 2003, very nearby the FBI facility that the Cartoon Man was being held at. I have included photos of the park in this report to give you a frame of reference. So I joined up with two field agents, Agent Johnson and Peters, to start up our own search there. We arrived at about dusk to be sure that no civilians were around to see anything. Agent Johnson then stepped out of our vehicle and clipped the padlock with a pair of bolt clippers in order to gain entry to the property. As soon as we entered, I immediately had a hunch as to where the perpetrator would be hiding. The entrance to one of the rides was this enormous cartoonish-looking vampire head, where you could walk inside through the mouth. I pointed toward the head, and Johnson began to assemble a futuristic handgun made to fire syringes, which were filled with the I-151. He proceeded towards the enormous jaws of the vampire, and switched on a flashlight attached to the end of the gun. As he was about to step inside the mouth, four strange children, two boys and two girls around the age of 11, approached from the back of the attraction. They advanced towards us silently. Their eyes looked bigger than normal, and their pupils were enlarged as well, to the point where the whites of their eyes were almost entirely black. Then, in unison, they reached behind their backs and pulled out kitchen knives. The agents started to get tense and raise their weapons.
"Put 'em down!"
Agent Peters yelled. The kids pounced on them and started stabbing wildly. Johnson was able to shoot one of them a couple times, but it didn't slow him down. They were both then on the ground within seconds, and soon after were clearly deceased. In the chaos, I was able to grab the syringe gun off the ground and aim it at the kids. They lunged at me and I fired three times, successfully hitting two of them. The two instantly woke up as if from a trance and started crying. The other ones charged me violently. I checked the gun and noticed it only had two more syringes left loaded inside. Trying to get a better shot, I took off running into the park. There was a building called the Haunted Castle that had a tree with a spooky face connected to it up ahead. It looked like it would be a good place to find cover, so I ran inside. It was one of those cheesy old haunted attractions where the cars would take you through the sets and scary things would pop out at you. The weird thing was, though, that despite the park being closed, the rides seemed to be running. One of the kids caught up to me, swinging the knife towards my neck. I jumped onto one of the moving cars and took off into the attraction, shooting the kid with one of the syringes. Before I could tell what happened to him, the ride car spun and brought me into the next scene. I wanted to get off, but I didn't know if I could step off the ride without being shocked by the track somehow, so I figured I should just stay on until it ended. The ride approached this window in a bedroom-type set where a circus woman was tied to a spinning wheel with an animatronic man throwing knives at her as she screamed for dear life. The animatronics were clearly from the 80s, which added to how incredibly terrifying they looked. It continued, and the next scene featured an old witch laughing as she stood by a well using a severed human head as a bucket. Then after that, I arrived at a set where several mannequins sat at a long dining room table. As I approached it, the ride came to a sudden stop, and I noticed that the table had pieces of human body chopped up and placed on the different characters' plates. I looked around and tried to step off the ride, but the lap bar closed down on me tightly. An animatronic man at the head of the table slowly turned his head towards me. Then this deep, repetitive laugh emanated out of his mouth as it mechanically opened and shut. It stood up and began to march towards me. Out of other options, I pulled out the syringe gun and fired my last round straight into the animatronic's chest. Before my eyes, it changed shape and took on the form of the cartoon man. He fell forward onto the ride car, and I quickly handcuffed his hands behind his back. After that, I immediately brought him back to our facility. The horrific loss of Agent Johnson and Peters is a tragedy for the Force, and those children, who are now in critical condition but don't remember anything about what happened, is something that cannot be allowed ever again. We now have the cartoon man in a much more safeguarded facility, and he is being run the I-151 intravenously, while he's kept there in a medically induced coma. Unfortunately, due to his condition, though, we have not been able to garner much information about him. But the FBI is still investigating methods to extract the information. I will be in touch with any further updates as soon as they come my way.